careful what you wish for. In September 2001, before the smoke had cleared from the rubble of the Twin Towers, Congress passed the Authorization of Use of Military Force, AUMF, by a vote of 420-1. The legislation enables the president to use kinetic war, including especially preemptive war, without congressional debate. After affirming her convictions in church, U.S. Representative Barbara Lee of Oakland, California, cast the lone dissenting vote. The vote in the Senate was 98-0. Representative Lee knew there would be a tremendous price to pay, and indeed there was. The death threats and accusations of being a traitor came pouring in. It's worthwhile to ponder whether she would be canceled from our current media landscape for taking such a brave stand against the dominant narrative. Now, after 20 years of unchecked executive power and loss of so much blood, treasure, and moral standing, particularly in the Middle East, to support a petrodollar that now no longer exists, most would agree that history has vindicated her vote. The Patriot Act was also ready to be signed right away, and the American surveillance state, all that the latest generation of Americans have ever known and experienced, was birthed, because we were afraid and angry. It is with an especially heavy heart that I read the Voices section in the June 1st edition of the Commons. The horror of the Uvalde incident cannot be overstated. However, that being said, we would all be well advised yet again to take a step back and examine the situation on a macro level. In August 2020, I appealed to the readership of that publication to do the same in regard to COVID. It was called Calm Down, Tame Your Fear, and Think Clearly About COVID-19. Link. We react predictably to such horrors, and the push for immediate action on guns is once again shouted from the bully pulpit, digital rooftops, and across the editorial pages of the remaining papers. Emotions are overflowing, consensus seems overwhelming, but wait! Channel Barbara Lee. As we step further back in time, we observe patterns to these horrific events. The 1999 Columbine, Colorado shooting in particular shares many facets of the Uvalde murders, particularly the psychological makeup of the perpetrators and the fact that in both instances, police stood down outside the school for an hour, and in the school, by the way, as the massacre was taking place within. Reporters are supposed to ask what, how, where, when, and why. Where did the shooter get the money for the guns in the new truck when he didn't have a driver's license? Who propped the school's back door open? Why did police, who had had an active shooter drill just 2 weeks prior, being aware they were to intercept any active school shooter, whether alone or in pairs, let alone larger groups, not go into the building or intercept the shooter for over an hour? Once the shooter was inside, shots were heard and 9/11 calls were made from inside the building by students and teachers, and so on and so on. I could continue, but these topics will receive plenty of consideration elsewhere in the weeks and the months to come. So now we have yet another horrific mass murder of the innocent, with the concomitant wailing of those wishing to blame the atrocity on the tool of destruction rather than the wielder of the tool of destruction. Do we call for a ban on SUVs after the Waukesha, Wisconsin terrorist attacker Daryl Brooks methodically drove through a Christmas parade, killing 4 dancing grannies and 2 others, and injuring 62, wielding a high-power SUV? Parenthetically, President Biden visited Buffalo and Uvalde, but not Waukesha. Divided countries are easier to conquer than unified ones. A disarmed citizenry cannot push back against authoritarian regimes. The Second Amendment is under attack as we realize why the Second Amendment exists in the first place. Australia, after a mass shooting, disarmed its populace in 1996, and since 2020, its police have been notoriously brutal against its people. Australia also features COVID camps in which citizens are detained or quarantined for 14 days at a time because COVID. Let's pause to consider China. China has locked down 400 million people, a population larger than the entirety of the United States. Locked down hard, starving, can't leave their homes, pets killed, screaming from their windows, while robotic dogs shout instructions from the streets. Nobody knows exactly why. The CCP is not saying, and they don't have to. You can do things like that in a closed society. They haven't even declared a state of emergency. Parenthetically, Shanghai is completely shut down, and if you haven't heard of any of this in your media feeds, other than in offhand references to, quote, supply chain disruptions, end quote, you might want to ask them and yourself why that is the case. Chinese citizens also have a social credit score, as all their moves, transactions, and social interactions are tracked by the government. Currency is digital. If the CCP doesn't like your post on social media, you lose your ability to buy or sell anything, rent an apartment, participate in society. You can, in effect, be killed for your political views remotely with the flip of a switch. Naturally, the citizenry is unarmed. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has openly shared his admiration for Xi Jinping and the efficiency with which he rules. Parenthetically, this is the same Xi Jinping who recently referred to President Joe Biden as, quote, my old friend, end quote. Let the multiple levels of that sink in. Mr. Trudeau, along with Xi Jinping, is a graduate of the World Economic Forum's leadership training. Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, bragged in an interview that in addition to Mr. Trudeau, at least half the Canadian cabinet had graduated from his program. Last winter, a convoy of Canadian truckers peacefully protested against COVID mandates in Ottawa. They shoveled the sidewalks. There was singing and dancing and bouncy castles in the Canadian capital city. How did Justin Trudeau's government respond? By shutting down the bank accounts of the protesters. Now the Canadian government is disarming its populace. The ostensible reason, they say, is the rising tide of gun violence in Canada, particularly the April 18, 2020 mass shooting in Nova Scotia. What the U.S. press, NPR, did not say or ask in its June 3, 2022 coverage of this process is the fact that the incident also featured a botched response from law enforcement and the subsequent, quote, public inquiry, end quote, has been kept from the public. History doesn't repeat, but it sure seems to be rhyming. Then we go next door to New York and Bill A-416, which would have allowed the governor to detain people in camps. If this bill had passed, you could be put in a detention facility if a fatally flawed PCR test ramped up to 40 cycles said you have tested positive for a piece of a microbe that you have no symptoms of carrying. Or if your Chinese-made antigen test provides a false positive. The invisible enemy indeed. That bill has been defeated for now. In Geneva, Switzerland last week, the World Health Organization, WHO, funded primarily by Bill Gates, shelved the act pushed forward by the Biden administration that would have ceded member countries' sovereignty to the WHO in the case of a pandemic or, quote, health emergency, end quote, as determined by, wait for it, the WHO. 47 African countries led the resistance to that measure. Perhaps they have had some experience with colonization, the Gates Foundation, and Tedros Ghebreyesus, whose background makes for fascinating reading. Also presenting at the WHO was Deutsche Telekom, the parent company of T-Mobile, demonstrating the utility of its Green Pass system, complete with QR codes, to track the health histories of those who have taken the experimental mRNA gene therapy shot and those who have not. Welcome to vaccine apartheid, the social credit score, and China-style authoritarianism, and the only things in the way are the pesky U.S. Constitution and those 370 million guns. Think I'm crazy? Here's a quote from a subsection of a publicly available 2010 document, Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development, from the Rockefeller Foundation. The subheading is called, quote, Lockstep. It wargames a 2012 pandemic scenario, quote, The Chinese government's quick imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near-hermetic sealing off of all borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of the virus far earlier than in other countries and enabling a swifter post-pandemic recovery. At first, the notion of a more controlled world gained wide acceptance and approval. Citizens willingly gave up some of their sovereignty and their privacy to more paternalistic states in exchange for greater safety and stability. Citizens were more tolerant and even eager for top-down direction and oversight. And here's an author's note, My opposition to these sentiments is expressed in the Vermont media by the current Representative Windham III. It's the essence of why I'm running for this office. It's called From Green to Red on the COVID Map. It's by Michelle Bosland, and she says, it's time for the governor to declare another state of emergency. To continue the quote, and national leaders had more latitude to impose order in the ways they saw fit. In developed countries, this heightened oversight took many forms, biometric IDs for all citizens, for example, and tighter regulation of key industries whose stability was deemed vital to national interests. End quote. In February 2019, CCP General Counsel Huang Ping came to Montpelier and separately visited Governor Scott, Lieutenant Governor David Zuckerman, and Secretary of State Jim Condos. The coverage of that event in this article from the Chinese consulate also makes fascinating reading. Link. Here's a quote. Jim Condos, the Secretary of State, expressed that Vermont is a ski resort in winter and a colorful natural oxygen bar in summer and fall. He believes that the enthusiastic and unsophisticated people of Vermont would make a profound impression on the Chinese people. End quote. As with the Xi reference to Joe Biden, take your time, pore over the multiple levels of meaning. 10 weeks after those Vermont meetings, on May 14, 2019, Chinese media declared a people's war against the United States. That October, the military parades were held in Wuhan, and Event 201, a pandemic preparedness exercise sponsored by the Gates Foundation and Johns Hopkins University, subsequent media go-to source for COVID information, occurred in New York City. And in January 2020, rolling into the Year of the Rat, the first year of the Chinese 12-year cycle, a propitious time to start new enterprises, we got rolling with cataclysmic COVID, with the psychological, emotional, constitutional, and economic devastation enabled by the declared state of emergency, enacted nationally and on a state-by-state basis by nearly all U.S. governors, including, of course, Governor Scott. And now here we are, making matters even worse by yelling at each other through bullhorns of moral outrage hyped by the media, while the ruling class sits back and smiles, counting their windfall of profits and power. The view from Davos is just fabulous, thanks, though it doesn't brag the, quote, enthusiastic and unsophisticated people, end quote, that we enjoy here, with the exception of Senator Leahy, who was in attendance at the May 2022 World Economic Forum meeting. Please understand that the people who are against gun control legislation are not necessarily knuckle-dragging mouth breathers with testosterone deficiencies. We, yes, I too, especially in light of the revelations of the last 2.5 years, am firmly in this camp, are chiefly concerned with the ability to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. An effective militia must be in possession of arms that are proportional in power to those that can be brought to bear against the citizenry of this republic. So, my fellow citizens, please pause to consider the second, third, and fourth order consequences of hastily legislating out of fear and anger. The ease with which we give up our right to preserve our individual and national sovereignty is directly proportional to the speed with which our children will be taught that the Mandarin term for microaggression is Wei Guang Gong Ji.